What's up? My name's Isaiah Mopusua, Brave Blossom 7-Eleven, and this is the Hurt Locker.
Freedom Internet is proudly 100% Kiwi-owned, offering ultra-fast, safe, reliable fibre internet for both short and long-term stays. Perfect for homes and businesses alike. If you're living or moving into one of their service apartment buildings, you can get online instantly or the moment you move in, with no calls to make, no waiting, and no connection fees. Freedom Internet, building community one gig at a time. Sign up today at freedominternet.co.nz and experience the freedom. This week on the Hurt Locker, we've got my brother himself joining us, Isaiah Mopusua. Growing up in NZ and connecting at Kings, Isaiah's first made moves as a versatile loose forward and lock, known for being a runner, straight enthusiast, and having anger issues on the field. After high school, he took the bold move going to Japan to study and play university at Keio, one of the country's premier collegiate programs. From Keio, he stepped up to professional rugby, now playing as a lock and loose forward for Toyota Verblitz. Training alongside legends like Peter Steph Dutoit under the guidance of Steve Hansen and Ian Foster, he earned his first cap for Japan in the 2024 PAC Cup, helping secure a record win. Tonight we dive into his path from being a New Zealand schoolboy, standout to a uni star, and now being in a professional grind, wearing the Brave Blossoms jersey on the international stage. It's Mauso Isaiah Mopusua.
Shout for coming on.
Oh boy, how's it been? How are you?
Good.
Yeah. All good? Recovered from Saturday night?
That was nothing.
That was nothing. Oh, how you been, bro? How's the injury? You've talked about an injury that you've had. Yeah, been all right.
Yeah, I had surgery maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. Mm. Just a shoulder reco. Mm. Just been dealing with that. It's allowed me to come back and see the fams and be here for a bit. But grateful for it actually.
You've got that shoulder reco. Do you have to come back to New Zealand to get that kind of stuff done, or
nah? That was just So I popped the shoulder during the season, and I could have gotten the surgery straight away, or I could have, done a bit of rehab, come back, and then got it at the end of the season, which is what I did. And the staff gave me the option to go private here and get it done here, which meant I wouldn't have to stay in Japan after the season. I could just come back and rest up at home. So, yeah, did that.
So how long was that last stint you did over there? Like, just so people can get a gist of it, obviously you're over in Japan. How long did you spend before you came back home? Like, how long was that last stint in Japan?
Yeah, it would have been, like, since the beginning of the season. 4 or 5 months. Coming back a lot more now since compared to when I was in uni, especially with baby and Mumsy when they were over here, but they're in Japan with me now, so yeah.
Yeah, Ice is a new dad. Hello, baby's close to one?
Nah, she's 15 months. So
15 months?
She turned one in April.
She turned one in April? Yeah. Did you guys have a first birthday?
We just had a little one in Japan. With
us. Sick, yeah. I was going to say, if you had a first birthday, I was like, oh. what is that? Not me. So baby's 15 months, and Tiana as well. She's obviously come over to Japan back and forth. How's it been trying to juggle all that as a fresh dad?
Yeah, it's tough sometimes. Has its moments, but I definitely noticed it once they were living with me all through last season. It was... Yeah, I loved it, eh? Mm. Like, coming home to them, it's way better than living in an empty house, I guess. Oh. But,
What's the time difference like? So when you're in Japan, if baby and mum's here, what's the time difference for you?
Usually like 3 or 4 hours.
Oh!
Depending on daylight saving. I think daylight savings, it's 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not that bad.
Yeah. Well, it's not that bad. Oh, so how'd last season go for you guys for Verblitz? We'll talk about it on Saturday, but how did it go for you boys?
Now, it was a tough old season last season. We finished 10th out of 12, just out of the promotion relegation range. So that was good. But yeah, obviously nowhere near where we wanted to finish. And yeah, it was a good learning for me that last season. I mean, yeah, a lot of learnings. But yeah, I look back on it and, you know, I was still enjoying it.
Mm.
But yeah, it was just tough to get those wins. A lot of games we felt like, you know, we played well enough to deserve it, but still didn't get it, which was, you know, a learning. Yeah.
Just straight out the gate, what do you reckon the biggest difference is from playing rugby in NZ? Because did you get a bit of game time down in Dunners post-school as well?
Yeah, I was just playing club.
What club were you at?
Harbour Hawks.
Oh, Harbour, right.
Shout out to them. They just played in the Dunedin final, but they lost. unfortunately. But yeah.
So what do you reckon the biggest difference is, bro? Like Kiwi rugby compared to playing over there?
Probably just... Well, obviously there's a clear size difference.
Mm.
And also probably just speed. I think, you know, a lot of people come over and they say it's like playing sevens. So yeah.
Do you reckon that just comes as everyone being a bit more lean and just
Yeah, everyone's a little bit more lean.
Mm.
Those Japanese boys, you know, they've been in the gym since like, you know, year nine.
Mm.
So they're just like built like stronger.
Mm.
But obviously just don't have that natural size that you find over here.
Mm. I guess that's why they probably like a lot of you boys going over as well. Probably adds a bit of a nice different touch to the way they would normally play.
Yeah.
Because you would have experienced it in uni as well, eh? Because obviously there's probably less foreigners in the uni comps as opposed to those top competition sides like you are in that the Japanese league now. Was it different even in uni?
Yeah, it's funny, like we're talking about like size and stuff, like because I went over to uni in 2019. Mm. One of my best mates, and we got there and we were the first foreigners to be at our uni, and like obviously we got there and we're the two biggest dudes there, but like I don't think we could even do like 5 pull-ups in the gym, and like they like it blew their minds like how weak we were in the gym and even like how unfit we were. Because obviously they train so hard.
Mm.
So when we got into the gym, they were like,
Oh, because you went over with Isako, eh?
Yeah.
So what kind of testing were you guys doing then? Like,
It's like just like classic, like, you know, pull up, squat, bench, all those different weightlifting tests. But yeah, like when I was in Dunners, like, there was no like
you're doing Dunner stuff.
Yeah, I was doing these exercises.
Yeah,
but so it was it was a massive like eye opener and I guess a bit of a wake up for us when we got there and we were having to like we got a gym program. We were gymming twice a day, 6 days a week.
Gymming twice a day.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What was the kind of splits like? Just lowers and uppers every day or something?
Yep. Yeah. So we do like upper push in the morning and then lower pull in the afternoon.
Holy.
And then, you were expected to go to school in between our trainings.
Like a military camp?
Basically.
So how much did you shred off then, like straight out the gates?
Oh, no, I think I actually put on.
Oh, muscle? Seven,
I think I discovered ramen and all the rice. So I think our first few months we put on weight and then I think just as the months went past like we just started shredding it and just getting stronger, getting fitter, because you've got no choice really.
Well, that and ramen and Sapporo as well. And that's my favorite beer,
Sapporo.
It's so good.
Mine's Kirin.
Do you like Asahi?
Yeah, I don't mind it. To be honest, I don't.
There's Asahi on tap, bro.
I drink whatever, but.
So that's what we're going to do. Is we're just going to wind this straight back, like all the way back to the start. Talk about where you were born and bred and raised here. So where was it for you? Like, I assumed it was Wellies, but not too sure. Where'd you grow up, Wells?
Born in Wellington and raised in Wellington. until about 13. Moved around a bit. Started at a primary school in Palmerston North, actually. Then moved to St. Ben's in Wellington. Then went to Newtown Primary. Went to Scots College for intermediate. And then did a year and a half at St. Pat's Town before moving up here with my mum and finishing up at King's.
Mm. Man, I don't know. You went to St. Pat's Town.
Yeah.
Even Scottsboro. But you would have you would have rubbed shoulders with a couple of some of the big names. Do you remember some of the names when you were younger or now?
Yeah, like I was an intermediate, but it's all like all the different like you have the primary school, the intermediate, or they call it, I think they call it middle school. And then the college, it's all like together. So you see, like I was there when Jackson Garden Bishop, I think was year 13.
Umanga Jensen boys? Tuitama.
Yeah.
Umanga Jensen
boys, Alex Fido, TJ Va'a.
So,
those boys were all in high school while I was an intermediate there.
Mm.
But then, yeah, so I decided to go to St. Pat's Town for high school. That's where my old man went.
Mm. He wants you to go there?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think he was definitely proud or happy when I went there, and I enjoyed it. I actually didn't want to come up here initially. Mm. I wanted to stay. But yeah, obviously, glad I did.
Is St. Pat's Town the one with the light blue jerseys?
No, that's Silverstream.
Oh, that's Silverstream. So.
Town is the one in, it's darker blue. It's in Kilburnie.
Mm. Does, you met Brooke from Morning Shift?
Yep.
Does he mock you because he's a Wellies boy as well?
I don't actually know if he knows I went to Pat's Town.
Because he went to one of them, eh?
Yeah, I think, I can't remember which one, but yeah.
Yeah, I thought he would have mocked you.
He might have gone to Wellington College.
Oh, I could be wrong. Yeah. So what was it like growing up there then, G? Like, do you remember your days in Palmy?
A little bit.
Or were you younger?
I was young. Mm. I didn't even remember like where we lived and stuff.
Mm.
I think my dad was working at the prison there.
Mm.
And mum was doing something. Yeah, but we were only there for a little bit.
Mm.
And then we moved back to Wellies.
Mm. Wellies then, what was it like growing up in Wellies as a youngin?
It was cool. Like, yeah, I definitely made a lot of, like, I definitely had some, like, played obviously all my junior rugby down there. Started at Pōneke. And then, yeah, obviously just rugby was my thing. Made a lot of good friends, did a lot of cool stuff through rugby. And, yeah, like I said, I loved it at St. Pat's. And I didn't want to actually leave, but, yeah. That happened.
That's a famous rugby club, eh? Pōneke. That's probably one of the bigger ones, eh?
It's got a lot of real proud history. Dane Coles.
It's because it's like them. I think the other one I remember is like Ori's.
Ori's, yeah.
Yeah, Ori's is a bigger one. Is that where ASAV and all those boys are from?
Sav, yeah, my own.
When you were growing up there, pardon me, and like you see all the different schools around there, and like because obviously you know what the Auckland scene's like. Is it similar to Auckland, like the Wellie culture for like schools and footy and code and stuff like that?
Auckland's just like everything times 100. Eh?
Mm.
Like I remember in Wellington, like you kind of know people from each, like all the different schools. A lot of them are like single sex schools, like all boys schools, or St. Pat's was an all boys school, or girls schools. There's not a lot of co-ed schools. Then you come up here and like, everything. I didn't know. I was lost like for like a solid like couple of years. Like just didn't know where I was half the time. So yeah, it was a massive change for us.
Or being in like Wellies compared to Auckland.
Yeah. Just sheer size difference, I think.
Mm, like, So what age did you move from Wellies up to here? Year 11?
No, it was like halfway through year 10. Mm. So I would have been like 14, turning 15.
And you were what? So year 10, did you go straight into year 10 at King's?
Yep.
Yeesh.
And that's where I met, a lot of the friends that I have now, Sako, Tev, Mills,
Yeah, shout out to the boys, man. Yeah. So Sucko and Teva over in Perth.
Yep.
Millsy's obviously playing NPC here in Auckland. Mills, man, you got to reply to my DM, man. Totally.
Get him on.
Yo, I want to get him on. So those boys are here. Who else do we have? Obviously Hayden and those boys are still here. Man, that would have been pretty cool going to like a school like that, I guess, here. Would have been a big change.
Yeah. Thought I turned up at Hogwarts. during my first interview.
Like, you were at Hogwarts up to time.
It was like, I remember my, what do you call it? Like my interview, like for like to get the scholarship and stuff. Like, fully, like after we did the orientation, like my legs were sore from all the walking. Like I was like, this is massive coming from, St. Pat's Town. Everything, it was just a lot, I think, like new city, new school, and then to go to that school, like took me a while to adjust, I think.
Was mum happy that you were going to go to King's though?
Yeah, I think she's just happy that I was going to stay with her.
So who were some of the early influences then, bro? Like we're talking like from being young and then up to like your school years at King's.
It's funny, like obviously I played rugby since I was four, but like as a kid I didn't really like watching it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like I found it boring. I remember like people would try to get me to watch a full 80 minutes and I could only watch like one half as a kid. Now it's obviously different. But I think, I think the reason I stopped wearing nappies as a kid was because Joe Rokotoko didn't.
You kind of look like Joe Rokotoko.
That's the story I got told by my mum. I loved all like the try scorers, like just like everyone else. I think as I got older, started getting a bit more like specific towards my position. So I think, I was looking at, sixes like Jerry Collins, Jerome Kainor, those type of players. But not huge like idols, even now, or even like a couple of years ago, definitely would just see parts of players that I'm like, I want to apply that to my game, but not so much like the whole player.
And so you didn't watch too much rugby and then you come up here to a school that really loved footy and code. Do you remember when you thought, oh man, like actually like do want to, jam this quite hard, like especially at school? I mean, because you came through halfway through year 10, so did you jam like under 15s that year or something like that?
Yep, went straight into under 15s. That was fun. I enjoyed that. And then I got put into that 16s self.
For those local comps.
Yeah, that was funny. Met some funny boys in there and played that. I think the first time I actually was like, I want to do this as long as I can. Maybe I'll make a career out of it. It was probably not until like, year 13. The main motivator for me to play rugby has always been enjoyment, even now.
Yeah.
So I always knew I was going to play rugby, like, as long as I was allowed to. From thinking, like, when I actually was like, I want to make this a career was probably my last year in high school.
Well, because even at school and, your under-15s photo will even be quite funny. Like, it's all people everyone will know. I mean, would have had Temple Kalepo, who just made his debut for the Cowboys. Aiden Morgan, who's over in Ireland now, but he's obviously played for the Hurricanes. You said he might be coming over to Japan for a bit. So there's that as well. Who else would there be in that team as well? You would have had Zahn, would have come a bit later, though. You would have played Zahn at school.
In year 12.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
but we were the same year.
Yeah, so you would have played with Zahn, who everyone obviously knows, Blues. Used to be Auckland NPC, now he's over at
Hawke's Bay.
Hawke's Bay. Māori All Black as well. bro, it was pretty gun teams. What was it like for you to obviously, you know, try and wiggle your way into like a big competition like the Auckland First 15 comp?
Yeah, it's massive, eh? The 1A. And like, I still think to this day, like, just the amount of talent in that one comp is crazy.
Mm.
And just obviously with all the, you know, big rugby schools, it's such a good comp, I think. Mm. Yeah, like, obviously, like, took me a while to adjust to, you know, Auckland. And then I think, yeah, played in the 1A for 2 years, year 12 and 13. And, you know, you come across some, like, freaks.
Mm.
And yes, bro. Definitely, like, yeah, there were, like, some days, like, or some games, I'm just like, holy, this guy's unreal. But, yeah, it was, like, I think it was, like, good, like, honestly, playing in a comp like that at a young age. Like, playing against, you know, big names now.
Yeah, because all those boys would be, like, out there now in the scene. So, like, going through school, like, let's talk that little transition period. When was the moment kind of post-school? Like, were you talking to anyone at the end of year 13 or what kind of stuff was playing for Code then?
Not really. Like, I was by no means a star in year 13. Like, yeah, I was probably, like, half decent. Had a chat to my uncle who was down in Dunedin at the time, and he said, you know, if I wanted to, come down and
the Selala?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So I did that, and I played at uni there. Started going to uni there and was just playing club footy, doing some academy trainings here and there.
Mm.
But I left Dunedin pretty soon after I got there, probably only like 5 months later, when I made the decision to go to Japan. Yeah.
Bro, that's out of it, because you would have moved your whole life to Dunedin, which is already a relatively big move. Yeah. Even if you're in Wellies, I mean, that's still a big move from Wellies. And to go over to Japan, was that kind of decided with your uncle as well, or did someone else? Like, how'd you find your way to getting that trip over to Japan?
So my mate that I went over with, Sako, he had like a childhood coach his name's Dion, and he sent quite a few boys over to Japan just through the uni system.
Mm.
So if you know, like, Hendrix Tui, Tim Lafaele, who, you know, both LaSalle boys, and both like had awesome careers in Japan, both played for Japan. Yeah, like, he pretty much contacted Sako and was like, you know, this uni's looking for a back and a forward. So I just got a call one day, basically, like, and I remember the first call with him, I was like, Japan, like, so he might have called me actually at the end of 2018, and then like, I was like, yeah, I'm open. We did do a little trip to Japan. They flew us over just to have a look for a couple of days at the end of 2018. Then, yeah, I wasn't really sure.
Mm.
We did all the applications, but they were like, to be honest, like, there's still a chance like that the uni doesn't let you guys come here. So we were like, oh, yeah. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll just go to Dunners. And, yeah, like, Dunners was fun. Made a lot of good mates there. Played some good rugby. Probably didn't want, like, was like, when it came time and we'd been accepted to KL, I was like, oh, it's hard because, yeah, you know, you're 18, you've just experienced, you know, life in, you know, a student city, like, you're playing, you know, Prem's footy, you can see the pathway, like, through, like, you know, playing in the 19s for Otago, trying to crack Otago in the next couple of years, Islanders. You can see that pathway, and then you can see another pathway through Japan. Go to uni, and then obviously after uni, you know, hopefully get seen by, you know, the League One teams. And yeah, that's the one I went with.
Mm. And I guess because you're not local, like, you know, a local over in Japan as well, you probably definitely can't see that kind of pathway, especially from here, because it's kind of an unknown territory for you guys, eh?
I think it's definitely a lot better now, like a lot more, especially with like the league, you know, getting the amount of traction that it is and the caliber of players that are heading over there now. Like, it's definitely, I think, a lot more known. But even like when I was, before I went over, and even before that, like, because boys have been going over for, you know, decades, like even less, like, so I think, you know, like, yeah, you speak about my uncle, like, he was actually, you know, a big advocate for me to do my own thing, and he always has been. So yeah, I think, you know, the reason I chose that pathway, I think, was because it's a lot more clear, I think. Like, you go to uni, you have to do uni for 4 years. During those 4 years, you know, you've got, like, you got coaching, you've got
resources.
Resources, routine, you know, you don't have to go to work, got somewhere to stay, don't have to pay bills. Here, it's like, you know, from the time it takes, like, for you to finish school to, if you're not in the system straight away, which I wasn't, like, you know, life happens, I say, you know, a couple wrong decisions here and there, or, you know, you just never really know, I think, here. Like, it's not, it wasn't as secure. Like, here, like, go uni, like, you know, yeah, life happens. Kids, you can, life can get in the way, I think, of, you know, cracking it, I think. And you're like, here, like, you know, you play club rugby, that's only twice a week. No one's forcing you to go to the gym.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be, a lot of it has to come from your own self-motivation. And I think I knew myself well enough to know that, you know, I wasn't the most self-motivated person. So I made a decision to, you know, go to Japan where, you know, someone like will make you do that stuff.
So just for the listeners, so they kind of understand, KO is one of the biggest private colleges or unis over in Japan.
Yeah.
What was it like, I mean, going to the environment? I mean, you already talked about, you know, the hard trainings and the discipline that all of the local boys already had, struggling with things like the professors, you know, like, because you obviously had an English barrier already just being a foreigner over there. What was it like kind of going over there, you know, just from this being here and done as at least?
Yeah, another huge change. Lucky I had my best mate there to do it with me. Otherwise, I probably would have come back a lot sooner. Yeah, just so different, eh? Like, the Japanese culture is like, it's like no other, like, you can't compare it to any other culture in the world. The way they do things is unique. And just, yeah, going to that uni, it's funny, like, the boys are really good, like, the rugby club in the uni, like, they looked after us. We had a host family that looked after us really well.
English or Japanese?
Japanese. Ah. But, yeah, they tried to speak English. It was really, like, so sweet. And they still, like, I still keep in touch with them today, like, yeah, bless them. But yeah, that uni's, it was just, yeah, it was hard to appreciate at the time, just being so young. But yeah, there's like, it's one of those unis, like, where you just have to go and graduate and then you can do whatever.
Oh, but just because of the ties and,
yeah,
and
it's got just a huge,
so prestigious.
Yeah, huge alumni all over the world. And yeah, especially in Japan, like, yeah. The hardest part is getting in, which is, yeah, funny to say because, yeah, we definitely, me and my mate definitely didn't have the grades to get into that school.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
So did you graduate with a certificate of gangster? Yeah. What was it like though? I mean, those classes.
Yeah.
What did you sign up for, like, for uni? What degree did you guys?
I don't know how, but me and Sako actually we ended up doing different degrees, but all the same classes. Yeah, my degree was something like policy management.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Then it's like you know what that is.
Yeah, I was what like, policy management? Yeah. I mean, I assume it's something to do with like corporate policies, like something to do with
yeah, I guess as good as mine. But. Yeah, but like I said, we could do all the same classes. It was like a high school structure, so we had like periods.
Dang.
And classes were like an hour and a half long. So, it felt, yeah.
Was it like tough. A typical uni where you have to like sign like...
No, because obviously I've been to uni in Dunners.
Yeah.
It was nothing like that.
Oh!
It was like way more structured. Like you had to take a compulsory amount of credits per year. Like, yeah. So it was tough because our campus was also an hour and a half away from where we lived.
Oh.
So we lived in the like sports dorm, student sports dorm. We were the... sports student stayed and we trained there and like lived there, but that was an hour and a half on the train from where we were supposed to study. So yeah,
so what, wake up, train in the morning, get changed, take the train into the uni, I assume.
Yeah, so wake up in the morning early, train, then go back, get changed, take the uni, like bust your ass to try and make period one, do like however many classes you had that day, come back, another hour and a half, train, dinner, yeah.
Do you think that gave you a pretty good insight into how disciplined those boys are that, like, you know, real dedicated to their trades and, I mean, you know, they yeah, just stick at it every day?
But those boys, especially the boys at my uni, we probably only average one or two players that actually go into the professional arena after uni. A year, so those boys are doing that just straight out of love, like they're doing that because they want to, and it's not even like a lot of them, you know, like it's not fun, like they definitely, it's something that I think I worry about is, you know, at that level, like where it's supposed to be a development level, you know, they can, you can coach the fun out of it and boys can be like F this, like because they are there by choice at the end of the day. And, you know, that's where I, like, I just couldn't believe the amount of discipline and respect that they had. Like, they're there because, you know, of the history or maybe, you know, like, they had a relative that played rugby for the clubs. And they might not be any good. Like, we had four different teams.
Oh, at your uni? Four different sides?
There's like 100 players or something.
So
like,
are they all in the sports dorm?
Most of them, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Including obviously like staff. Staff are all students as well and they have to work twice as hard. They are like earlier than the players and stuff. Like just the amount of like, yeah. They, and you ask them like, why do you do this? And they just, they're like, oh. I don't know, but like it'll be rude to like pull out now. So right. Like gotta see it through.
Yeah.
Like another thing we struggled with was just the amount like all the rules. So obviously going like that's another thing that was completely different. Like they were telling us when to go to sleep, when to wake up, like when we couldn't go out or and stuff, and we're like uni students. So I've gone from Dunners where like I had no one keeping tabs on me, yeah, doing whatever I wanted, and then go into that kind of environment, and it's like, you know, or like apart from not having time to do anything because you're training every day, that's something I definitely like struggled with, was like rules. Drinking age was 20, not 18. That was another big like, because obviously like. Like, the uni wasn't like, yeah, well, the uni was, like, pretty much, like, you know, because we had eyes on us since we got there, like, they were like, yeah, like, you can't be seen, obviously, drinking underage, not just because it's illegal, but also because it comes back under uni and stuff. Like, it's something that's, obviously, and you get into, the, like, professional environment now, and it's kind of similar, like, you know, like, you can't be a dick in public. Yeah. Like, so I think it was a good lesson to learn. Looking back on it now, but at the time I was like,
yeah, 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 Damn, I can't believe. So what time, like schedule wise, if they're telling you to go to sleep, like what do you
we
mean?
We had like, they call it 10 call, which is like curfew.
Yeah.
And that was at 10 p.m. every night. And you had to be, they do it like, they send one of the fourth years would come to your room and just check you there. So, yeah.
So, what, open your door and you guys are just all jamming Fortnite?
Yeah. And our jeans in there.
Oh, man, that's out of it. So, I mean, you're doing that for uni, playing. What was it like playing code then for KO? I mean, much different to how I would expect, or was it?
Yeah, like even faster. And obviously even more of a size difference, I guess. Like that's that uni rugby in Japan is probably like closest thing to Japanese rugby as you can get. With the addition of like obviously a couple foreigners in each team. Yeah, so much like pride and history within the unis, like yeah, before we got there, you know, my uni was strictly like traditional Japanese, like there were no foreigners that played for the team ever. And I think now there's only two others. It used to be Keio, Waseda, Meiji, and now it's just Meiji and Waseda that still don't really have any foreigners. And they also, like, Meiji and Waseda, two of the strongest unis in Japan. So they prove, like, you know, you don't need the addition of foreigners, although it helps. But yeah, like, yeah, shucks, man. I was playing everywhere, like, just playing wherever the coach wanted to put me. Yeah, it was like just big, like, and we didn't really have any hugely successful years while I was there. I think the furthest we ever made it was quarterfinals. But yeah, just. Yeah, I loved the boys, like the boys that I met there. Like, how can you not, after spending 4 years together, like, form a special kind of bond? So yeah, I definitely look back on those 4 years, and although I like would never do it again, and if I could go back in time, maybe I would have not done. I definitely like am so grateful for it. It taught me a lot, and yeah, like, who knows if I would have been here now?
Do you reckon? Just being the foreign boys like you and Sako, do you reckon you had a bit of weight on your shoulders as well playing in college just because you guys were the outsiders or?
Yeah.
Nah.
I think, yeah, you're like, how can you not? Because obviously you've been brought in to help. And like, yeah, so we had like, and like they get fans. Like, I think at our, we have a massive rivalry with Waseda, another private uni. In Japan, and like our like annual like fixture against them, it's like 20,000.
Whoa,
on average, I think.
Solid.
Yeah, like just, and that's just because it's like the King's Grammar of of Japan.
Yeah.
And yeah, like so, we definitely like had people who were like watching us and like keeping tabs on us, and you know, like. We had a lot of OBs that, you know, wanted to, like, took us out and stuff and wanted to get to know us and just meet us. And yeah. It was like, yeah, like, we weren't famous. But, like, it just, like, going from here where, you know, you're no one and then going to, like, that kind of environment where you train and train like a professional, but you're not professional, but you still have, you know, fans and stuff like that.
A bit of a culture around
it. Yeah. It was definitely like something cool. Like, yeah.
Let's talk about your dorm then, because I remember talking about how small some of your dorms are. Like, what are we talking like? Like your setups.
Yeah, like, so it was two to a room, and the room was like split in half. So, like, you walk in and you have like, there's a wall in between, and this is like, this was my side, and this was my roommate's side. And in my side, like, I could touch the walls. So it was that skinny. Like, yeah. Like,
could you, your food and stuff? Like, what?
So we had a cafeteria.
Yeah.
That was disgusting.
Oh, really?
Even the Japanese boys were like, nah, this is yuck. But we were forced to eat it every day. Which blew my mind, considering, like, we're one of the richest schools. But really,
Communal showers?
Yep. Oh, well, like we had our club room, so we just showered in our change room. That was another big eye opener. Just because, like, how comfortable they are with not wearing clothes over there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
What, so you guys all had to shower naked?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't have to.
Oh, but, like.
But, like.
It's practice. You're
the, yeah, or, like not even shower. Like, just walk around naked. Like, I think one of the first days we got to Japan, our host family, the son, he took us to onsen.
Mm.
And what's we got that? There. Like it's like a communal, like public hot bath, sauna, ice bath.
Like you see in the Japanese movies.
Yeah. But got in there and just see all these old men walking around, bookies out, like, and me and Sako looked at each other and we were like,
take me home.
And the son turned around and he was like, welcome to Japan. And we just
Bro.
You just had to go through it. Now it's, I would think it makes sense, bro. Like, why would you shower with your undies on? But yeah, it's obviously something that foreigners have to get used to over there.
Mm.
Now I'm like, I have no feelings towards it whatsoever now. But at the start, it's just another funny thing that, it's so different from here. Mm. Obviously it depends. If you're friends with a whole lot of white boys, then it's all good. you're used to it. Definitely like us brown boys, something that, it's funny.
Just like culture difference, about,
just a culture difference. Like, they're like, kids go to onsen from when they're like this high. So, it's just a part of the culture there.
Yeah.
I love going onsen now just for recovery and stuff.
Mm.
So good.
Man. So let's talk your transition then. Obviously, you were Toyota Verblitz. What happened? Like, how did that all come ahead for you, going from uni to there?
Yeah, so I think I would have been maybe just in my last year when I got the call from the head coach at the time, Ben Herring,
mm-hmm.
who I'd actually met in Otago. He's an old, Otago boy, Highlander. I think he played for Leicester as well. And he was doing he was just working for Otago Rugby while I was in Dunedin. And he ended up being coach in the time that I was at uni. He gave me a call, I think, because he just remembered I was over there. And it's history, really. I think my first proper experience with one of the teams was when I went to camp with Kubota.
Oh, okay.
They took me on because they were the first team to reach out.
What's their name? The
Kubota Spears.
Oh, yeah.
They were the first ones to reach out. And I went on one of their summer camps in a place called Sugadaira, which is where lots of the unis do their summer camps too. And summer camps extra hard. And you play you just play games with all the other unis and there's heaps of rugby fields there. It's in the middle of nowhere. I went there with Kubota and went for a week and we didn't touch a rugby ball once. We just ran.
Ooh.
And gymmed all week. And at the end of the week, we climbed this mountain. But that was probably the first experience. I was happy to be there because I was this is mean. Got all the kit.
So it's a full setup, a good setup. Oh, it's just
when they
tough
bring,
camp.
Yeah, when they bring uni boys, they try to look after them and stuff. I was just unfortunate because that camp was a fitness camp. Mm. It was funny. And then I went on camp with Toyota, and we played a tens tournament. We did mini team dinners. We went to paintball, or it might have been airsoft.
Mm.
And at the end of the week, we had a big piss up. And I was like, yo.
do they go hard like they do here? Like, do they go well like the boys there drink?
Would they piss up?
Yeah.
Even harder.
Really?
The Japanese boys, they don't drink like as often.
Yeah.
But it's like when they do drink, they drink to die.
Oh, yeah.
Like they have things like, they call them nomikais.
Yeah.
Like just drinking parties. And like exactly like here, like they'll play games, like have like mini team stuff, lots of drinking games and like, but honestly, boys are like passed out spewing within like before like 8 p.m.
Ooh.
Like they go hard.
Dang. Yeah. So I guess it suits you then?
Yeah.
So what are the kind of things that you reckon helped you from uni to like transition to the professional period? I mean, the discipline will be relatively the same because Japanese, just in general, they work hard and they're well disciplined. What was it like for you going into the professional scene?
Yeah, I was like, say discipline, like it was more just like, yeah, I mean, growing up, I used to hate the word like discipline.
Mm.
Just because I'm like, oh, like, I just hated it. Like I said, never been the most disciplined or self-motivated. I was always just quite all good to just like take it easy, like go hard when I need to. And it's something that I'm still learning now, which is like just, I guess, how to be a professional.
Mm.
Because, just like all the little habits that make you a professional, those little things that you do that make you a professional. Because, like talent only gets you so far, which we all know. And there comes a point, like, I think in a player's journey where, like, you have to flick the switch and work for it as well, which is something that, I've been working on. My coach, Steve, been helping me a lot with that, because I think the great players are the ones that are have the right balance of talent and hard work or good work ethic, I think a big learning for me is like, or a big learning for me was something that actually like opened my eye to it and made me have like a different view on discipline, professionalism, was when I think I was on the phone with my uncle one day and was talking about it, and he was just said, professionalism is an attitude. Like getting paid to play doesn't make you a professional.
That's a good point.
It's an attitude, like the way you carry yourself, how hard you train, how badly you work to be, as best as you can and reach your potential. I think that's what makes a professional, and I'm nowhere close. I think I'm still, trying to work on it. Some boys, it's a lot easier than for some boys than others. Like boys, I just think some boys have to learn it, that lesson, a lot quicker. That, they're going to have to work hard to compete with the boys that obviously just have the God-given talent. And then the boys that have the God-given talent, I almost think that's better to learn it earlier.
Yeah.
That talent only gets you so far, because, we would know hundreds of players that, like, were the best or, like, were the most talented that don't reach their full potential, even if they might make some squads or some teams, they could have been so much better.
Just the work needs to stand, 100%.
So that's something that I'm currently aware of and just like...
trying to balance being a professional.
Trying to learn.
Mm.
But yeah, so that's something that, switching from uni to... Because obviously uni, you can go and bump off five little Japanese boys and...
Yeah.
It's all good, but like you get to that level now where, and it's the size difference gets even smaller. Yeah. And you're going up against players like Peter Steph, Adi, Ngani.
Have you played Adi yet?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, you know that viral clip that of him when he scored four tries?
No.
That was our team.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Were you playing there?
Yeah, I came off the bench that game.
Oh, man.
And I was, yeah, you know when he dived backwards and he scored? Yeah, I missed the tackle.
Were you just holding on to just got your man high?
I'm pretty sure I touched him.
Oh, man.
I didn't get fended in the face. That was Tian.
What under the bus guy. What under the bus guy. So what is it like then, G? Like, you're obviously there. How was Riblets considered, like, in your competition? Are they, like, one of the top tier teams, like, for, like, people that don't really understand the Jap 1 league?
Like, they're, like, a team that everyone, you know, no one expected us to get 10th.
Mm.
I think they're definitely up there with, you know, like, they belong in Division 1. Mm. Like, no one has questioned that. But it's just, it's funny, like, we copped a lot of shit last season because of, you know, the team we had on paper, the coaching staff we had, and obviously where we ended up. But, I love it there at the moment. And I was definitely happy to be going there after uni.
The Jap 1 League, when everyone thinks of Japan, people always think, like, heaps of money, like, you know, you know, especially because a lot of the clubs are just privately owned and things like that. So the money pool automatically grows a lot bigger. For you, like, being there and living now, like, pretty much as a local and, you know, playing code there, do you understand, like, why people love Japan so much? Like, is it like a thing? Like, you've really shifted into, you know, just loving the culture and, like, being one there?
Yeah. My experience, like, of Japan since I've left uni and, you know, become, you know, joined Toyota and gotten so much more freedom, getting paid, trying to be more professional. You know, my overall, you know, enjoyment, I guess, of the country or experience of the country has gotten, like, yeah, exponentially better. Being able to, like, go out and see more, just having that freedom, got my own place. Like training is not as hard as uni, which some people think is backwards. Get to meet, like, got, like, good mates now, like, interact with a lot more foreigners, but also, like, obviously some good Japanese boys too. People always told me it would get better once if I got to that point, and it has. Yeah.
But it's good. What do you think is, like, you know, for, like, guys that want to come to Japan and stuff, like, not talking in regards to, like, pathways, but what do you think, like, the biggest advice you'd give someone that's going to move to Japan to, like, want to play code or try and find their way to the top leagues in Japan?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you can't go, I look at it like, you're about to experience something that you could never experience anywhere else in the world. You know, regardless of what happens, you know, you're going to get an experience, which I think is, like, a main reason I went was just, like, you're going to get an experience. You're going to meet new people, experience new things, a whole new culture, whether it's for you or not is, you know, yeah, is what it is. But, yeah, if you just go over, you're willing to work hard and you know what you want. Like, if you want to play in, you know, League One, you know, it's all there for the taking, I think.
So let's talk, like, Riblets before we go on to your debut for Japan. What are some of the players then that you've played with or played against? Like, have you had any moments where, like, you've met them or they've come across? Because obviously you've had some massive names in Riblets.
Yeah.
We'll cover that. Like, what are some of the names then that you've played with, at least in the green jersey?
When I first got there maybe 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, it was Willie LaRue.
Oi.
Peter Steph, who's still there. And then who else have we got we played with? Obviously, yeah, Nagi and Bodie.
Funny meeting those guys. I mean, you watched them for ages. Now you're rubbing shoulders with them.
Yeah, no, that's where I, like, I just look over and see them, that's when it like clicks for me, like, oh, like we're on the big stage now. Yeah, we had Joe Manu last year as well.
Oh, bro, I forgot about that.
He's, yeah, it was cool to meet, bro. Look, good to know. Real good fella. Yeah, and like, oh, heaps of like other boys, like friends that I've made. Yeah, William Tupou, Tian.
Yeah.
A lot of island boys there that are playing. That come through uni, like there's a huge like island like population that come over for uni, like boys straight from the islands, like heaps of Tongans, heaps of Fijians.
Oh, like straight from?
Straight from Tonga, straight from Fiji.
Out of it. Bro, that culture change must be crazy.
Crazy. It's funny, like, I remember, like, when me and Sokol, they must have been Tongan boys, like, and we saw them and we're like, oh, yo, some more foreigners. And they don't speak English, they just speak Japanese or Tongan. So it's like, oh. And a lot, but I think the boys that go over straight from the islands actually adapt better.
Oh, yeah.
To the culture, like they get fluent more like quickly. I don't know what it is, but yeah, that's just been my experience of it. Like they just like, it's funny, yeah, like because obviously different cultures, but like I think also, yeah, like, yeah, they just adapt better.
You're obviously coached by Steve Hansen and you've had Fozzy over as well. What's it like being coached by, you know, those two guys, especially for you as an individual athlete, but you know, just in general, like as a team, and you know, these are guys you really looked up to, coaching some of the big stars that you've already rubbed shoulders with. Yep. What was it like?
Yeah. It's been a blessing, eh? Like I definitely feel grateful and don't ever want to take it for granted having those two, you know, being able to go to them for advice on anything. They have so much experience between them. So yeah, I think that was a big pull for me to go to Toyota was because of Steve was there. And now we've got Fozzy there, who I've really enjoyed getting to know and learning from. And yeah,
right. Do they talk? Do you ask them questions about like their kind of what they've done and their career for advice or like?
Yeah, sometimes.
Is it?
Yeah, Steve loves a good chat.
Yeah,
Fozzy. Good too, like you go out and ask, like it's been interesting like hearing some of the stories they would tell about you know, All Black tours and or just like their experiences as a player. I try not to like ask them too many questions.
Fair enough. Did Steve Hansen come straight from the Bulldogs? You must have been at the Bulldogs before, was he?
I did see something like he was over there like advising or something.
Seeing advisory role, yeah.
But he's been with Toyota, I think, coming on like 8 years, but like half of those he was just director. So he wasn't coach.
Right.
So he's only really coming into like a coaching role since our other coach Ben Herring left a couple of years ago.
So then Japan, bro, you've obviously made your debuts for the Blossoms. When did that call come along for you?
Yeah, it was a bit unexpected, that one. The union changed the rules.
Yeah.
So it used to be eligible for Japan, you had to live in Japan for 5 years and you can't spend more than 60 days outside the country. And during COVID, while we were in uni, we spent more than 60 days outside the country because we just came back because nothing was happening. So I had to do an extra year, like just be in Japan for an extra year, so 6 years. And it wouldn't have made me eligible until this year. But they changed it to you just had to be registered in Japan for 5 years. So yeah, we finished the season, came back here for a couple months. Yeah, I pretty much rolled off the couch into camp.
Dang.
Once I got back to Japan, I got the message while I was on the golf course. And I was like, hey. And yeah, I had to leave into camp like maybe 4 or 5 days later.
Straight into it.
Straight into it.
Who was the coaching for it?
So we had Eddie Jones, head coach.
Me.
We had Hats, Nathan Hatley. Okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Neil Hatley.
Yeah.
Who was the forwards coach? Dan Bowden.
DB?
Yeah.
Was he there? Oh, true.
He's the attack.
Oh, man.
Attack coach.
Out of it.
And we had Dave Kidwell, who was our defence coach, who, obviously got a big, played for Kiwis.
Mm.
Bit of a leaguey background there, but I think he'd come from Argentina.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, what the heck? I don't know, DB and stuff were there. Bro, yeah. That's crack up.
So DB was actually coaching attack at Toshiba.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, so last year, well, obviously, all the coaches were new last year after Jamie Joseph left.
Mm.
So everyone came in last year.
Oh, that would have been mean. So what was it like going into camp? Or did you, you rolled off the couch straight in, but was it cool, like, the environment? I mean, your first big topside team?
Yeah, it was cool, man. Yeah. Like, just couldn't, like, believe it, eh?
Mm.
And, like, turning up into camp and, like, yeah, just, like, knowing I'm in that environment was just, like, yeah, I just felt, like, so blessed and, like, yeah, probably in shock. Didn't really kick in until I'd been there for, like, a month. Mm. But, yeah, I rolled off the couch after a big couple months off season, got into camp, into, like, yeah, it was it's tough, man. Those Japan camps, I think, you know, honestly, I think our training's up there with, you know, like the amount they train and how hard the schedule is, or how hard it was last year, was up there, bro. I think with, you know, I think, yeah, I think we get away with it because, you know, obviously the Japanese boys are used to it, like going for uni. It's kind of, it goes back to kind of that kind of style. Obviously, depending on who your coaches are in League One. So, yeah, we were waking up, forwards up at like 5 a.m. every day. Oh, not every day, sorry, but like throughout the week, 3 days a week. We were wrestles, morning session. And we're training in August, and which is, you know, peak of summer in Japan. So it's like...
How hot does it get?
But it's like 35 to 40. Like, yeah, it's like we're training in like... 37 degree weather, and doing our camps. And so it was definitely tough, man. Mm. But, like, you know, Eddie, I sat down with Eddie on my first day and he just said, you know, honestly, probably spoke for about 20 seconds.
Mm.
He was just like, yeah, like, look, you're here. It's an opportunity, you know.
Get stuck in.
Yeah, but it's up to you what you want to do with it.
So who'd you debut against?
Canada. So.
So.
Yeah, it was cool, man. Like, we flew over to Vancouver. First business class flight.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, got to Canada, like Vancouver. Yeah, we were there for 10 days. It was cool, man.
Bro,
like,
Vancouver's such a cool city.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, I loved this. Like, I loved it. And it was cool. Like, we got a lot more downtime than we did when we went to, like, Europe and stuff, or even in Japan.
Yep.
Yeah, we got to see the city, but and then yeah, we played on the Saturday and we won. But yeah, debut was scary, man.
Nervous,
like, even though I was nervous, man. Like, I came off the bench probably the last 30, and just I remember being on the field like just counting down the seconds. Like, I was like, can this just end? I don't know why, like, because I've never really been a huge like a nervous person. Like, sometimes I get a little bit nervous before kickoff, but then once the ball's kicked off, it's like, yo, let's play.
Pressure's off, yeah.
But yeah, when I came on for Japan, I just remember like being so like fatigued, I think, because of the added stress. And nervousness, just wanting to do well. But yeah, I just...
Yeah,
did my best to do my job.
Were you wearing the black and blue jersey or the red and white one?
It would have been black and blue.
Oh, yeah.
It was cool, man. And I was number 711.
Sick.
Which I think is a good number.
It's a good omen number, eh?
For Japan.
Japan.
711.
Yeah. 711. Oh, I don't know, bro. So, I mean, you're there now. I mean, it's gonna be your guy. I mean, you're looking over to, when are we, 2027?
Yeah.
That'll be the next World Cup. Is that something you're going to be aiming to? Hopefully, pray for those rule changes to, you should still be right?
Yeah, I'll still be able with the rule changes. I'll still be eligible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think getting to a World Cup has always been a goal of mine. And yeah, obviously, yeah, I feel like I got a bit of unfinished business in that jersey.
There it is.
And yeah, I really want to get back into that kind of environment and do well.
Mm. Bro, how good would the next one be as well? I mean, you're going to be in Oz as well.
Yeah.
Bro, it'd be sick, man, if you come back. I mean, the team will be so good as well.
Yeah. Man, oh, we've got it's a real young group coming through now.
Mm.
Going through a bit of a rebuild at the moment.
Mm.
But it's definitely exciting. Obviously, I play against all of them, or most of them.
Mm. But it's essentially 2.5 years to, spend time together and just build as a team. So we're going to go do some quick fan questions now. And then we'll start closing it off a little bit. There we go on our first one. The first one, Tiana should have fussied you and Ron on Saturday night. I guy. Were you in the dog box a bit after or nah? You're sweet.
Nah, I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good.
We got, what's your go-to convenience store? Family Mart, 7-Eleven, or what?
I think I'm actually pretty big on Family Mart and Lawson. There's another one called Lawson.
Yeah.
I think, I live down the road from Family Mart.
Mm.
I think they got better coffee. And Lawson do better, hot meals.
Mm.
Bit of an unpopular opinion, I think.
So why are they so big? Why are convenience stores so popular? Is it just what foreigners have done or travelers have done where they go?
Yeah,
to Japan?
I think it's the tourists have blown them up a lot, but because it's just part of it's like going to a dairy,
right?
Yeah,
but their ones are just really good or something.
Yeah, well, it's just like everything you could even need
is there.
Is there like you need phone chargers. And then all the snacks, food, toiletries. It's just, convenience store.
What's it with the egg sandwich? Everyone always talks about the egg sandwich.
So there's a egg sandwich and people have been putting you can get chicken fillets at 7-Eleven and all the convenience stores and they chuck it in.
Mm.
Mm. I'm not a big fan, but yeah. That's
always get smoothies and stuff. The smoothie machine. That's cool.
But yeah, my go-to order is probably just six pack of Kirin.
Solid. Does he still wear his Central Auckland shirt to town?
No, that t-shirt stays in the drawers.
Stays in the drawers, is it? We have one from here. Ben asked, can I have some money? Buddy Ben. The next one. What was it like playing with Aaron Smith and Beauden Barrett?
Yeah, cool. It was, just obviously those are the moments where you pinch yourself and you're I'm playing with greatness here.
Mm.
It was cool just to see how they operated. How they talked about the game and they viewed the game.
Mm.
Bodie's such a good operator, man. And he's so even on the field, just always calm. And Nagy's Nagy's still got it, man. Works hard and just seems always he's a level above whoever he's playing against most of the time. Yeah, I really enjoyed it getting to know. Oh, well, obviously Nagy's still with us, but I enjoyed getting to know Bodie as well.
Mm.
I really appreciated all the learnings that came from playing with him and Nagy. Yeah.
Mm. The next one. When's the wedding?
Next year.
Oh, in Japan, I better get in. But
yeah.
Do you still get PTSD from the 2018 1A final? And he said, love your miracles. Oh, 2018 on a final.
Still hurts. Yeah.
It's just down the road as well. Bastards. St. Peter's, eh?
Yep. A few names in that school too. Nico Jones. Emmy.
Samisi Tapa.
Yep. Samui.
That's tough. Hey, Samui just played for Fiji.
Yeah, bro. Nico just played for Samoa as well.
Yeah, Nico just played in the weekend. Yeah.
That was a tough one, eh?
That was sad. Why did we still drink like we won? Yeah. Because that's sad. That's so depressing, actually.
Yeah, man. Especially since they went to win the whole thing, eh?
They went to Japan, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. So we suck, like, man.
Especially, yeah. That was, I don't know, yeah.
Remember Zahn was Superman that game?
Yeah, but he got charged down. That's the first try. Fuck you, Zahn.
Oh, man. So when are you back, Us? When are you going to go back over to Japan? When are you flying off?
Yeah, we're off next Monday.
Yeah.
I got to go back into rehab on the 1st of August.
Mm.
And then it's, yeah. On the rehab train all the way until December. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Do you think they're going to put you through some fitness when you head back, or will you be able
to? I think, yeah.
Because your injury, I mean, not going to be able to do much.
Yeah, I think I can start running maybe September.
Yeah.
So probably just be on the bike doing exercises next month and then slowly build into it and get ready for round one. But yeah, man.
So round one's what, December?
Yeah, December 13th or 14th.
It's 2 weeks before Christmas, man.
Yeah, but we play through Christmas every year. But it's cool. This year we're doing, I think it's 3 weeks on, 1 week off.
Ooh.
So it's just, that'll be a lot easier on the body.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that one, especially close to that season. I mean, everyone wants kind of a break
season. Like, I think that's another thing why, like, people look at the league and they're like, bro, you guys have it so good.
Because
you get a bye, like, if you're getting a bye every week, then you can go wherever and do whatever you want, so. Yeah,
a
lot of time off.
That's it. Oh, bro, thanks for coming on, Ice.
I appreciate it, bro.
How long have we been knowing each other? You would have been year 11. Fuck you. I was year 9, you were year 11. Man, I can't wait. I'm going to post your carousel, then I'm going to put all your Kapa Haka videos on there. I need to charge my old iPad, get those on.
Where is it?
When are you back? Friday?
Yeah, heading down to release and then back on Friday.
And then, Saturday, Sunday, just wrestle with the family?
Yeah, mum's birthday on Sunday.
Oh, cool.
Happy
birthday, Jana.
Yep.
I haven't seen her in ages. Need to catch up with her.
You probably see her out.
Did I just break my hat?
Shame.
That's just pissing me off. All right, Ice. Thanks for coming on us.
Thank you, brother.
What a potty. I'll get that posted. I'm going to make a skucks as real of you. That's the week's episode, guys, for the Hurt Locker. Make sure you like, subscribe. Head over to Ice's Instagram and Reblitz. Give them a follow. I'll send you guys his DMs. Just scram him. Send him everything. Just scram and troll him. Track along his career. Shout out for coming. Thanks, episode. Thanks, Us.